great to see you this morning. Today I'm going to talk for a little while about special women with amazing news. That's the title today, special women with amazing news. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been waiting and had some great news, and when you got it, you just wanted to share that news? Have you ever been in that situation? Well, I remember some years ago, I was looking for promotion, and I'd had a number of goes at being promoted. Go to an interview, and the news would come back, "Well, you haven't passed this time." Selection process that we went through. But one year, I knew I'd done better than I probably had done on the previous occasions, and I was anxious for some news to come that I'd been successful at getting promoted, passing the interview. And I knew that the day, this particular day, the results were going to come out. So, and I knew the process. My boss, who was a superintendent upstairs, would have a telephone call, and he would be told who had been promoted and who hadn't. I'm sitting downstairs, I'm doing some computing. I've got to go. I had to go upstairs, and I had to knock on his door. I said, "Have you heard yet? Have you heard?" And he said, "No, not heard." But as I was chatting with him, and this guy was really quite stern, the phone rang. And you know, they're just going to do the results. Well, he, like me, because I'm very expressive with my face, he was deadpan. Yes. And then he looked up and said, "You passed." I was like, people from other offices came out. I wanted to tell them I had passed. How many times had I gone for that? Many times. I mean, it was life changing. For me, it was life changing. I was thinking, family, pension. It was just great news, and I wanted to tell everybody. So today I'm going to continue our story in our amazing series, but there's going to be a slight twist in it. Today the story revolves around three particular women who have been followers of Jesus during his life, his trial, his execution on the cross, and his resurrection. And in their story of how they loved and supported Jesus, how they discovered that Jesus was risen from the dead, and how they told people of the good news and all that they'd hoped Jesus would bring and fulfill. So today we're just going to look at what is the news we were expecting? A bit of a giveaway earlier on with the scriptures we've read. We're going to look at the lives of these three women. The three women are Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, who brought the amazing news. We want to see what it meant to them to be followers of Jesus and see what lessons we can learn from them. So at the end of my little talk, we're going to divide into two groups and have some time to think and explore and see how we can apply that into our own lives. So before we look at the lives of the women, I just want to be clear about the news we're expecting, and it's not promotion. It's more life-changing than that. So what is the news we're expecting? The great news we're expecting, as we've sung already and we've read, is that Jesus has defeated death and he has risen again. So that's the news we're expecting. Why are we expecting this news? And the reason we're expecting the news is because of the stories of the first book of the Bible, the Old Testament. All lead us to expect this news. And we read about it just before when we said, "Have you not read from Moses and the other prophets?" So ever since humans have had this broken relationship with Creator God, he's been working towards a point where we can be restored into a new relationship, into God's order. And God requires justice. And that his justice is that a sacrifice, a pure, blameless, sinless, has nothing wrong sacrifice be given. It's a perfect sacrifice. That will be acceptable to him for things that we've done wrong. The sacrifice is Jesus, who led a sinless life, a life without doing wrong. And Jesus himself, he actually also spoke about his expectation of his own resurrection, returning from death back to life. And Paul, in his letter to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, talks about the importance of him rising from the dead. Because without the resurrection of Jesus, there's no faith for us. Because we would still be guilty of our sins. And without his resurrection, there's no hope of redemption and restoration. So the amazing news is, we are waiting for what is truly amazing news. Because we can be sure that death is conquered, sin, our wrongdoing, is forgiven, new life is given, and victory is assured. And in Luke 24, we read the report of the two disciples who are walking along with a man on the road to Emmaus. And they report that these women amazed them as they brought the news that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. So let's have a look at these women. The three women I want to focus in on: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, and finally, Mary, the mother of James. I want to look at their lives, their character, and how they are witnesses to the historic and pivotal moment in faith of those who follow Jesus. So Mary Magdalene, she was from a town called Magdalene, situated on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, a town known for its cloth and dyeing of yarns. It was a commercial town, and it's probable that Mary was a businesswoman. Mary is often noted at the head of any list of people, women in the Bible. She's at the head of that list, which probably suggests that she was a leader, and a strong person. She was out there and she was highly visible. And Luke 8 tells us that Mary Magdalene was healed by Jesus and also had seven demons removed from her. Now, if you're thinking seven demons, what is that all about? Can I encourage you to pop down to our website and listen to Prince's talk from last week, which was truly fantastic and enlightening. Very helpful. We also know that she knew Jesus' voice. She loved and served both financially and in doing. So that's Mary Magdalene. Joanna, she was also among the women that were healed and set free in Luke 8. She was in a place of influence in terms that her husband was King Herod's business manager. She would be mixing with court officials. Although not employed herself, she would probably be in a position of influence and move amongst the court circle. So she was in a really prominent place. Mary, the mother of James. So there's less written about her. In fact, but I find her probably the most exciting of these three women. We know that she was the mother of James, one of Jesus' disciples. And scholars think that she was a person of financial means. Along with other women, she was able to support Jesus in his work as he travelled. And some commentators suggest that Mary was perhaps a quiet person, not out in the front. However, she played a valuable role in her support and encouragement of the ministry of Jesus. She cared and looked after people. So you could describe these women as very ordinary people in terms of they're like us, but yet, like many of you, are very, very special people. as we follow their story, we can see that they followed Jesus closely. As in Luke 8 tells us, Jesus was travelling from place to place and town to town. They supported him by using what they had and provided for Jesus and the disciples. They were faithful, they worked or were in positions of influence. They had been healed and set free. Their whole life was immersed in Jesus. And I don't know if you can remember when Chris spoke, he talked about, showed us a pie chart and put coming to church on Sunday, just being Christian, that's all that matters. But actually, it's the wider picture, that it's all our life. And it feels to me that these women lived all their life for Jesus. So it wasn't just on a little slice of the week, it was everything. So not only did they observe him, support him, they followed Jesus on his journey to the cross. They confirmed his death and followed his body to where it was placed in the tomb, where it was left, and because it was the Sabbath and no work could be done. They demonstrated their love for Jesus by bringing expensive spices and ointments for his body. They were the first people at the tomb to discover his body was no longer there. They declared his resurrection. They remembered what Jesus had said, that on the third day he would be raised from the dead. And as soon as they had this revelation, they acted, they rushed out to tell the disciples and others what had happened. These women knew Jesus. They encountered Jesus, were set free. They loved him and supported him. They were truly witnesses on a mission with Jesus to support and enable his purposes. You know what? I think the most striking thing for me that about these three women, that they are three separate individuals, but brought together by the love of Jesus. They were building and working together as a team. When I went to KST, one of the people I talked about was a famous missiologist called Abraham Kuyper. And he said, very few humans are solo parts, can act as solo parts. They all have different strengths which complement each other. There was no one better than any other. They were just performing and doing different things. So being a witness in a government office, or in manufacturing, or in industry, in social care, in the care of others, all gave what they had to support the mission of Jesus, both before and after he died and rose again. Do you know, that idea that we are individuals doing separate, working together, I can see that, and often see that, within us as people. Julian is a great example of that. He has a friend at work who he's connected with because they're at work. She is going through cancer. He brings her along to Buddy Cups. And brings her on. Then Sue and Donna and Jill Kirkman pick her up and start being a friend to her. You know, that's working as a team together. Sorry, I'm highlighting Julian. It's not a Julian. But when Norman came, remember Norman from last year, he came. It was such a thrill for me that Julian picked up Norman and said, come on, we're going to go out to Hadrian's Wall, we're going here, we're going there. He brought him along, he was there. You know, part of it, and then he became a follower of Jesus. Not just because of Julian taking him out, but it's part of everybody supporting. Michelle and Hilton, for example. You know, some of our students came around for Christmas, had them around for Christmas lunch. Great. And I could go on, but I won't. It's difficult, dangerous highlighting different people, but, you know, lots of people doing lots of things. So what can we learn? Firstly, on an individual level, he can set us free, heal our sicknesses, and restore our relationship with the Creator God. His healing and restoration is available to everyone who commits their life to following Jesus. Secondly, like the women, I believe we're on mission, on the mission of Jesus. We, like them, have amazing news that he has risen, conquered death, and is doing this. And in doing this, we are building the kingdom of God. We are connected with each other because of the love of Jesus. Paul describes us as being in Christ, in Jesus. Like these women, we want to work as a team in our place of work, or wherever we are, in whatever situation, not as individuals, but as a team. No solo parts. We're not here, you've got to do it on your own. We're a team, we're a group of people who can support one another, different giftings. We're better, more effective when we're together. And I think as Durham Community Church, we are joined by our love for Jesus and that strong sense of being engaged in mission together. It's not a lone adventure, not just a Sunday thing, it's an everyday thing.